If you have your Bibles, go with us to Luke chapter 18. I actually thought last Sunday would be the conclusion of our sermon series, Written in Red, where we've been navigating the parables of Jesus. We've covered the parable of the two houses, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the unforgiving servant, and last week, the parable of new wine and old wineskins. But we had a little change in our preaching schedule, and so I was able to add another week to the parable sermon series, Written in Red, and that is where we're going to be today. But today, our parable of interest is the parable of the persistent widow found in Luke chapter 18. And Jesus is going to use the instrument of comparison to help emphasize the need for God's people to be a persistent people in the privilege of prayer. And that's exactly what prayer is. It is a unique privilege that is afforded those who are in right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we all know that persistence matters. I read this week, I Googled this week, and because I found it on the internet, you know it has to be true, but I read that Colonel Sanders, when he retired from the military, didn't know what he wanted to do with his life beyond that. And the only thing he had was his mother's famous fried chicken recipe. And so Colonel Sanders went around to area restaurants, and he went beyond his own home state, and he traveled the country, and he received 1,007 rejections before the first restaurant agreed to try the Colonel Sanders fried chicken recipe. And ever since then, we've been eating buckets of chicken at KFC, and all because he was persistent. I also read that Thomas Edison, who is remembered for innovating the electric light bulb, didn't invent it, but was responsible for innovating the electric light bulb, that he had thousands of failed experiments in that effort before he finally reached the light bulb that we are still benefiting from today. And so we know that persistence matters. It matters in life, it matters in relationships, it matters in business. And Jesus is going to emphasize that if we know persistence is significant in those areas, then how much more significant must it be in the area of prayer? And yet, if we're being completely honest, and I just want to tell you, I struggle at times with maintaining a good persistence in prayer. Anybody else? Oh, we got a bunch of spiritual giants in the room. So sorry. Okay. I struggle at times with being persistent in my prayer life. I'll give you two areas that are constantly tripping me up as it relates to being persistent, continuing to petition God in prayer. The first is distraction, okay? Does anybody get distracted when you pray? Right? Like sometimes we are talking to the God of the universe, and then our phone pings, and we get distracted. This happens all the time, even at home. Mary and I will be in conversation. She's telling me a story, and then my phone buzzes. And I know it's rude. I know it's wrong. But I immediately, in the middle of her story, will pick my phone up and start scrolling to see what it was that I got notified of. And when Mary gets frustrated with me, she'll be telling me the story. She's like, and then she said, and you're no longer listening to me, and I'm pregnant. That's what she says. We've had 5 babies. It doesn't scare me anymore. Here's what I get distracted. I can get easily distracted, and I think it's a hindrance to me being persistent in my petitioning God in prayer. Here's the other thing. I can grow discouraged. I can grow discouraged. I think it's a result of my spiritual immaturity. So maybe like a child, when I don't get the answer I want in the time that I want it, I get frustrated, I grow discouraged, and therefore it compromises my persistence in praying to God. This week I was having breakfast, and I was studying at a local restaurant here in Prosper, and I saw a mom having a mother-daughter date with a 3 or 4 year old little boy. It was really sweet. They were having breakfast together, and the mom had ordered for this little boy, I don't know what it was, fruit or a waffle or something, and it wasn't evidently what he wanted to eat. And so to express his displeasure with that order, he picked the waffle up and he threw it at his mom. He said, no. And I was like, are you going to beat him or am I? I mean, y'all know, can I get a witness? Okay. So I was like, now the mom disciplined the little boy. I was really grateful to see that. She disciplined. She's like, oh no, we don't do that, you know. But I think sometimes I do the same thing. I think sometimes when the answer isn't as timely as I want it to be or isn't exactly as I wish that it was, I can maybe act like a baby. respond with spiritual immaturity toward God, and I grow in my discouragement, and it hinders my petitioning with persistence God in the spiritual discipline, the practice, listen, that is afforded by privilege through relationship of prayer. Like, this prayer is unique, it's special, it's something that God has reserved only for those who belong to Him, that we get to commune with the God of the universe. And what we're going to see today is not only in that fellowship, in that relationship that has afforded us this privilege of prayer, He wants us to do it over and over and over again. And that's what Jesus means to teach to us today. So Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. Luke 18, starting in verse 1, if you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know, from time to time when you read the parables of Jesus, later on the disciples will say, hey, what did that mean? And Jesus then is kind enough to explain it to them. Other times, you don't know. Jesus doesn't offer the full explanation at the moment, or at least the Gospels haven't recorded it. If you want to know what this parable is about, just read verse 1. There's nothing hidden here. The author tells us at the very beginning, look again, and He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Verse 2, He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while He refused, but afterward He said to Himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? This morning, I'm going to divide our teaching up into three parts. I hope this helps us kind of move quickly through the teaching that Jesus brings. We're going to just ask three questions. The why. Why should we be a people of persistent prayer? Or why does Jesus emphasize the persistence of prayer? Two, what does it look like for us to be a man or a woman who prays with persistence? And three, when should that persistent prayer begin? So let's talk first about the why. Why does Jesus emphasize persistent prayer to His disciples? Well, again, for those of us who are born again, we have a special relationship with God through the indwelling power of His Holy Spirit. And that relationship comes with privileges and includes the practice, the discipline of prayer. And I think Jesus means for His disciples not to neglect this practice, but rather to cherish it. And the why, you and I can be a people who also understand His emphasis behind our praying with persistence as He seems to instruct us to. I'll give you a few of the comparison and contrasts that help to show the reason why you and I should value persistent prayer as Jesus seems to give. The first is this: the widow was a stranger to the judge, but we are children of God. Now, why should we pray with persistence? Well, the widow in the parable doesn't seem to have any relationship with the judge to whom she is petitioning. But you and I, if we are in Christ, are actually defined as in family. We are children of God. So unlike the widow without relationship, we are children who can petition our Heavenly Father anytime we choose. In fact, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. So think about this. The reason why we should care, Jesus seems to emphasize praying with persistence, is because unlike the widow who had no real relationship with the judge, you and I are actually family who God calls His kids. So why wouldn't we want to pray with persistence as Jesus seems to instruct us to? Number two, the widow had no advocate to plead her case before the judge. But we have the advocate, Jesus Christ, who pled ours. Now think about the gospel miracle here. The woman doesn't have a caseworker. She hadn't been assigned counsel by the court. She goes to the judge on her own. She has no advocate who will plead her case on her behalf. But listen, fam, if you are in Christ Jesus by the exercising of your faith and belief in his work, then he petitions God on your behalf. You have the advocate, the God who got off the bench and took your place, received our punishment, advocates for us to the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is why we should be a people of persistent prayer. Number three, the widow had no case law to cite for her claim. But you and I claim the very promises of God. Now think about that. She didn't have any legal textbooks that she was looking up and any case law that she was attempting to cite, but you and I can actually cling to and claim the very promises of God. Let's just talk about a few. Salvation. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. How about suffering and that God never wastes it? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. How about the completion of the good work that God has begun? Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. How about the fact that we're not made better, but we're made new? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. How about the fact that God is coming again and he will one day make all things new? Revelation chapter 21. Listen, we don't cite case law. We claim the promises of God. This is the reason why we should be a people who are persistent in our prayer to him. Number four, the judge was wicked and unrighteous, but our God is merciful and kind. Again, the point Jesus is making here is why we should be a people of persistent prayer. Why? Like, think about the example he gives. He says this judge does not fear God and he does not respect people. And yet, this widow's persistence, her willingness to go over and over and over and over and over again, was enough to compel him to move. Jesus says, how much more then does your heavenly Father, who is altogether good and kind and loving, how much more then would he be compelled to move when you and I are persistent in our petition of him? The Bible says in Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that the demonstration of God's love is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The judge in the story that was ultimately compelled to move on behalf of the widow, he was unrighteous. But the God of the Bible is merciful and loving and kind and gracious, and if this unrighteous, wicked man was willing to move because he got asked over and over and over again, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to move when you and I petition him over and over and over again as well? And number five, the widow approached a court of law, but we approach the throne of grace. I love this. Hebrews chapter 4, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, family, I want you to know what the scriptures have just said. When we petition God, over and over and over again, when we are persistent in our prayer, when we are willing to overcome distraction, when we are willing to move beyond discouragement, when we are willing to ask and to ask and to ask and to ask again, we can do so with confidence because we're approaching the throne of his grace. It's the reason why God wants us to be a people who plead over and over and over instead of giving up because we got distracted, our phone went off, or we didn't get the answer we wanted in the time that we thought we should. This is significant. It's supernatural. And this is the why that we should be a people who care about praying with persistence. But how about the what? What does it mean for us practically, personally, to be a man or a woman of persistent prayer? This is where I want us to be as applicable and helpful as possible. So if you take notes, let me encourage you just to write these reasons down. This is the what it looks like for you and I to be a man or a woman of persistent prayer. Number one is this: persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with our asking. It's choosing to trust God with our asking. Like, you realize, look at, he's not a genie in a bottle. He is the divine sovereign of the universe. He rules over all things all of the time. So we don't lift up a Hail Mary, cross our fingers, and hope for the best. We plead, we petition with the only God who is able to do whatever he chooses anytime he chooses. He can do anything, anytime. This is why I think Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. The church was just young believers trying to navigate their way in a culture that ran contrary to the truth of the gospel. And Paul writes to him, he says, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I think Paul means be bold in your asking, and be bold in your asking, and continue to be bold in your asking. So listen, why would we be a people, if this is the God of the Bible, who are reserved in what it is that we're asking for him to do? Why would we hang around in the shallows of the prayer life when God has offered us a high dive off the deep end? He's God. He can do anything at any point in time. This is why when the angel of the Lord showed up and he talked to that teenage virgin named Mary, and he told her, you're going to carry and you're going to deliver the Savior of the world. In Luke 1:37, he says, because nothing is impossible for God. So listen, what is your impossible? You want me to get personal? After 14 days in the ICU and being directly discharged from that, none of the doctors and none of the machines and none of the tests have been able to tell us why she continues to build fluid around her lungs, which tells me we're probably going to go back. And so I'm just going to be bold and ask God to take the fluid away and for science not to be able to explain why. And do you know why I'm bold in my asking of that? Because he can. He can do anything. So what is your big ask? Persistent prayer means trusting him with the asking. What is it big and bold in your life that you need God to do? You think my marriage is too far gone. I know a God who raised someone from the dead back to life. You think he can't resurrect your marriage, bring your child who's far from him? You think he can't do that supernatural work? He's God. Nothing is impossible with him. Persistent prayer is trusting him with our asking. Listen, I'm about to start getting fired up. Number two, persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with his answering. Choosing to trust God with his answering. I love the prophet Isaiah, if for no other reason, because in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, he reminds me that God is altogether different from me. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Is it possible that you and I, who are very limited, the finite, can never fully understand or comprehend the infinite? And so is it possible that persistent prayer is going to trust him with our asking and with his answering, regardless of whether or not we actually always understand how that is going to be? Paul tells the Philippian church, you just have to trust God enough in his answering that you believe he will supply everything that you need because he's God and he knows what that happens to be. Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I would say it this way, God is all-knowing. Connor is occasionally, rarely learning. You with me? God is all-knowing, he's omniscient. You and I are occasionally, rarely learning. So persistent prayer means if we're going to be bold in our asking because he's God, we're going to be choose to trust him in his answering because he's God. That's what it looks like to ask over and over and over again, as the widow did. Number three, persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with his timing. Choosing to trust God with his timing. If you remember in the parable, I thought this was interesting. In verse 7 and the beginning of verse 8, Jesus says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Isn't that interesting? Jesus would use that word to describe the timing of God. But is it possible that knowing that you and I are confined by time and Jesus, God, operates outside of that, that the understanding of God's timing versus how that works with our understanding of timing might be altogether different. What if speedily doesn't mean immediate, but it means appropriate? What if speedily doesn't mean immediate in the way in which you and I understand that, but it means appropriate as God knows exactly what we need when we need it? What if that's the understanding that Jesus gives? The psalmist writes and says, I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. I was asking Mary this week about, I need an illustration that would help me explain the timing of God as it relates to our continuing to be persistent in prayer. And I had already talked to her about that child in the booth and how sometimes I know I can be childish because I don't get what I want when I want it. And so she said, well, I don't know. How about a souffle? I know a souffle takes a certain amount of time for it to bake. And I was like, what's a souffle? And she started explaining to me like battered egg or something. And I don't know, I blacked out. She said she was pregnant. It was a thing. But when she started explaining it to me, it sounded like a rich person's casserole. Come on, y'all. But evidently, to make a good souffle, okay, it takes timing. You have to know when to put it into the oven, how long it should sit after it has been formed, how long it should bake in order for it to rise. I don't understand all of it. I tried to Google it and got confused. But nevertheless, it takes time. Well, listen, God is the master chef. Like, he knows all of the ingredients. He knows the exact measurement of time. And we have to trust that what it is he's making for us is perfectly appropriate for us. What if it doesn't mean immediate, but it means appropriate? Because God is the one who's at work. Persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with his timing. And that leads me to the last. Persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with our right standing. Remember, I mentioned when we got started that I think prayer is a privilege. It's a privilege that's afforded us because of the relationship that God has granted to us. That's why I think Jesus means for us not to ignore it, but to cherish it and to practice the discipline of praying with persistence more and more and more. But we're reminded that we don't pray and exercise this privilege because we've earned it. We pray and practice this discipline because we've received it. This is what gives you and I the actual right standing, the declaration that enables us to be able to stand before God and boldly approach the throne of his grace. The half-brother of Jesus was a man named James. And when the New Testament was being established, the New Testament church was being established, James was one of the foundational leaders in the early church. This was, again, the half-brother of Jesus. So when James spoke, people listened. And James wrote a letter to the church to strengthen the church. And in James chapter 5, he spoke about the subject of prayer. And you can tell just by how often he references this spiritual discipline, this privilege, this practice that is afforded us because of relationship, that he is highlighting the necessity for God's people to be persistent in their exercising of it. In James chapter 5, he starts this way in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then watch this. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Five times in four verses, the writer instructs the church to pray. That is persistent prayer. And he closes this exhortation for these people to remain persistent in their prayer by reminding them of the right standing they have as declared right people. But listen, we all know ourselves. None of us are righteous. So what makes a person righteous enough to be given right standing so that they can actually exercise the privilege of prayer? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, my life verse. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Persistent prayer is choosing to trust God with our right standing. We pray to God, we petition God from a borrowed righteousness that his son Jesus has given to you and me. And it is from that place that we ask and we ask and we ask and we ask and we ask. And we don't give up asking because we believe that God is able to do supernaturally, exceeding and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And so, we talked about the why. Why does Jesus emphasize persistence in prayer? And we talked about the what. What does it mean for you and I to be a man or woman of persistent prayer? But I want to close with the when. When is it that we should get after it and start praying with persistence? Here's what I would tell you. Ready? Right now. You probably noticed, if you've paid attention, that I left time in the service for us to do this. And so I want us to start praying right now. I want us to be a people who start boldly asking God to provide supernaturally what we know or believe that we need. I want us to be bold in trusting God with our asking. And I want us to be bold in trusting God with his answers. And I want us to be bold in trusting God with his timing. And I want us to be grateful in thanking God for our right standing. This is what enables us to pray with persistence. And we're going to do it, and we're going to do it now. So I'm going to ask you all over this room to bow your head and to close your eyes. I'm actually going to come off the stage. Our staff is going to make their way to the front of the room, and we are going to start practicing praying with persistence. And so if God moves in your heart, I want to encourage you. You can come forward, grab the hand of a staff member. You can kneel at this altar. If you want us to pray with you or for you, our staff is standing by. If you want to grab the hand of your spouse and just lead them forward to the altar, you are asking God to do something supernatural in your life, then come forward and let's practice the persistence of prayer. Because I don't know about you, but I believe that the scriptures are true when they say nothing is impossible for God. And so you think, well, not my marriage. He can't heal my marriage. Yes, he can. You think, not my child. She's too far gone. You don't know what he's done. Yes, he can. Why wouldn't we be bold and persistent in trusting God with our ask? Why wouldn't we ask God to do supernaturally what you and I are unable to manufacture on our own? Why wouldn't we believe God that he could take the fluid out of her lungs if science doesn't understand even how? Why wouldn't we? What are you needing God to do? What is it supernaturally that you're asking God to provide? You want God to grow your family? You're having a hard time getting pregnant? You grow discouraged month after month after month. Let's ask God to provide. You have a child who is far from God and you've prayed for them for decades. Let's ask God to bring them near. Your marriage is on its last leg. You're confident she's about to leave. Let's ask God to restore. You need a grandchild to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you're worried that he or she may never will. Let's ask God to save. You're in a financial crisis, and you need God to provide what the math says is impossible for you to do. Let's ask God to provide. Come forward. Who will pray boldly and believe God for your asking today? Step out. Step forward. Let's pray. Trust God, persistent prayer. We're going to ask. We're going to ask over and over and over again. He's God. Nothing is impossible for God. Let's be bold in our asking. Let's believe God in his answers. Let's trust God in his timing. Let's thank God for our right standing. Nothing is impossible for God. What do you need him to do? You need him to take your anxiety? Let's ask him to remove it today. You need him to take your depression? Let's ask God that it would be no more. You need God to strengthen your relationship with a child? Let's ask God to repair and redeem. You need God to heal you of a besetting sin that has bothered you for far too long? Let's ask God to take it away. We're going to trust God. We're going to be persistent today. We're going to ask Him over and over and over again. We're going to knock on heaven's door over and over and over again. We're going to choose today in our persistence to trust Him with our asking. We're going to choose today in our persistence to trust Him with His answers. We're going to choose today in our persistence to trust Him with His time. And we're going to choose today to thank Him for the right standing that affords us the privilege of prayer. Who's willing to step out? Who's willing to be bold and to ask God? Let's ask heaven right now. Let's ask God to move. Husbands, grab the hand of your wife. Say, He's not taking our marriage. God can restore. I'm not giving up on this kid. God can bring him back. I'm sorry for my sin. God will forgive. Step out. Let's step forward. Let's ask God to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. Nothing is impossible for God. Why would we be reserved in this? Why would we hold back? He's the God of the universe. The widow had no relationship with the unrighteous judge, but we've been called His kids. So let's ask our Father in heaven to provide. Persistent prayer begins today. Listen, God can't do what He desires to do if you and I are unwilling participants. But I believe He wants to do so much more. So who's willing to step out and to pray and to trust God in our asking? Who's willing to step out and pray and to trust God with His answers? Who's willing to step out and pray and to trust God with His time? Who's willing to step out and pray and thank God for our right standing? We're going to pray and 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 we're going to ask. And we're going to ask, and we're going to ask, and we're going to ask, and we're going to trust, we're going to trust, we're going to trust, we're going to trust. Because if God moved in an unrighteous judge through the heart of a widow who was unwilling to give up, how much more in His kids who are willing to climb in His lap and beg Him to move? Who is still holding back? Hesitant in your asking. God, move in this place right now by the indwelling power of Your Holy Spirit. Move in our hearts today, Father. We want to be bold in our asking. We want to trust You in Your answers. We're believing You for Your time, and we thank You for our right standing. Let's pray. Step forward. He's healing marriages in this room right now. He's growing families in this room right now. He's reconciling wrecked relationships in this room right now. Let's ask Him. We're not done, so here's what I want you to do. I want us to stand in this room. I want us to give God His praise. We are going to sing our way out of this place today. So we're going to worship until the Holy Spirit says the service is done. And if you have not come forward and prayed, then now is the time. Our staff is here, lined up. We would love to pray with you or pray for you. But we're going to choose today, in our persistence, to trust God in our asking. And we are going to choose today in our persistence to trust God with His answers. And we're going to choose today in our persistence to believe God for His time. And we're going to choose today in our persistence to thank God for our right standing. Let's be a people who worship. Let's be a people who pray. Breath.